Okay, good morning, everyone. So we are continuing today, just our plan for the coming week, Emir Tzashem, is today we're going to finish the introduction to Perek Shira, and Emir Tzashem, Wednesday's class is going to be devoted to Emir Tzashem Rosh Hashanah. So we'll tie it back to Perek Shira also, but Emir Tzashem will focus a bit on Rosh Hashanah. So remember again, just pre-orient ourselves a little bit. So we focused in our last class regarding the authorship of Perek Shira. So who remembers, again, according to the first approach, who was the author of Perek Shira? David HaMelech. Right, David HaMelech, and we spoke about this idea, yes?
Is that a question?
Sure.
There's many psukim that are after David.
Excellent, 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 excellent. So we're going to talk about that, meaning, wonderful point. Although the majority of psukim from Perek Shira are actually quotations from Sefer Tehillim, there are a number of psukim that are from Mishlei, some are from Kohelis. So again, excellent, hold on to that. We're going to talk about that. When we see those psukim quoted in those particular sections, we'll try to figure out how that could be David HaMelech. In general, by the way, there's an interesting idea. Did David HaMelech write the entirety of Sefer Tehillim? So we know, interestingly enough, there are different parts of Sefer Tehillim that come from different authors. Again, for example, certain prakim that Klal Yisrael sang when we crossed the Yam Sut, David HaMelech was the Malakit. He was the compiler. So it could very well be that...
Are you sober?
Yes. Yes.
You're muted.
I'm muted. Incredible. Okay. I'm going to ask for a very big raise this year, I'm in session. This is all right, good. Do you hear me all right now? Do you hear me? Okay, I'm going to assume everybody hears me. Good. So we're going to, it's an excellent question. Hold on. So we're going to see that as we get to the individual psukim or individual sections. So our first approach was David HaMelech was the author.
It's very choppy. We can hear you a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a problem with the internet connection here. I think, unfortunately, that I think that's what it is. You know, girls, if you could do me a favor, if someone on Zoom could go ahead and just email the Ma'alot office and just let them know that the internet connection, that the Zoom class is not coming through clearly. Maybe Mrs. Austin could come. Mrs. Austin, come back down and just try to fix it. I apologize. Okay, so David HaMelech, author of, according to first approach, author of Perek Shira. And again, remember, as we spoke about in our last class, the incredible profundity of that approach was that David HaMelech thought that he had reached the pinnacle of accomplishment with writing Sefer Tehillim, only to find out from the frog, nonetheless, that there was so much more going on in the world that he did not even realize. He thought that he was the greatest creature in this world to sing Shira. He thought that he had captured the entirety of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. And it turns out that the frog gave him mussar. You think you do so much? Look how much happens. And this is important because this opened David HaMelech's eyes to the reality that in this world, there is so much more than meets the eye. And this is going to be a lesson that is repeated over and over in the course of Perek Shira. There is so much more than meets the eye. And this is true, we're going to see in the natural world. But it's also most important. Where is that lesson? There's so much more than meets the eye. Where is that lesson most manifest? Where is that lesson most important? What would you say?
Maybe the
problem. In what sense?
Like when they thought
beautiful.
They were seen as that, but they weren't really.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. This idea, perhaps the most dramatic, excellent. The most dramatic part of the Meraglim's report back is when they come back. Remember again, the first part of their report is all factual. They remember again, the Meraglim didn't lie. The Meraglim did not make stuff up. What was terrible about the Meraglim's report was not that they made up fictitious information. Everything they said was 100% fact. It was how they viewed it. And when they said those words, V'chein hayinu be'enehem kechagavim, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that they overheard some of the residents of Canaan saying there are grasshoppers that look like people amongst us. But the Pashat Pshat is that the Meraglim looked at themselves as a nothing, as an absolute nothing. And the truth is, as we're going to see throughout Perek Shira, yes, there is so much more to the natural world than meets the eye. You know, you see, and I'm sure all of you have seen a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset, and it's breathtaking. But the truth is, there's what you see, And there's what that sunset and sunrise represents. What you see is, of course, something naturally beautiful. What it represents is the Ribono Shel Olam as the ongoing creator. And we're going to see that in Parak Shira over and over. There are the natural phenomenon that you see, but then there's what those natural phenomenon represent. Because every part of nature represents some incredible life you sowed. So Davar HaMelech being taught, you think you could sum up the totality of what it is that you see based on what you observe. But in reality, everything means so much dramatically more. I want to just focus on this idea. Actually, I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. There is a second approach or a second opinion as to the authorship of Parak Shira. According to this second approach, the author of Parak Shira is a man by the name of Rabbi Eliezer, specifically Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So you've heard that name before. Right, if you take a look at number 8 on your sheet, so the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Chamisha Tamidim Hayulo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 disciples, 5 students. Now, of course, did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai have 5 students? No, he had many more than 5 students. Right, Rabbi Yochanan, remember again, I would venture to say that one of the primary reasons we are here is because of the leadership of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a visionary who was able to teach us to mourn for that which we have lost, Zecher leMikdash or Zecher leChorban, but also anticipatorily pine for that which would come in the future. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had many Tamidim. When the Mishnah said he had 5 Tamidim, it means he had 5 primary disciples, 5 primary Tamidim. And who were they? They Elohim, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So again, the Mishnah goes through the 5. I'm only drawing your attention to the first of the 5, which was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And what happened to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Hu haya mono shvachan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to praise his students. And what would he say about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus bur sud she'eno ma'abit tipa. Anyone know what that means? Bur sud she'eno ma'abit tipa? Anyone know? He doesn't forget anything. What does the phrase bor sud mean? Excellent. A cemented cistern, right? A bor is a cistern. Sud means plastered. So they would plaster a cistern. You don't want to lose any liquid. See, it was a bor sud, a cemented cistern, she'eno ma'abet tipa, who did not lose a drop. So what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praising about Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? What was the shabbat? What was the praise? Memory. Now, what's interesting when you praise memory? Right. See, interestingly enough, when someone has like a photographic memory, it's not the pshat that they worked very hard to cultivate within myself a photographic memory. Either you have that or you don't have that. And generally, in the koach of retention, there's no question that some of it is based on how you're hardwired. So it's interesting that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he seeks to extol his primary disciple, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, he uses this praise of, he never forgets anything. Now, what do you think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was really praising? What do you think he was really praising? What does it mean that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus never forgot anything? Does that actually mean he never forgot anything? Never one fact, nothing? What do you think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was praising? So, A, his knowledge of Torah. Good, excellent. What else? Yes. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So meaning, who says it only applies to Torah? Maybe it could also apply in general to life, that he was the kind of person that always remembered the good that was done for him. Beautiful insight, beautiful idea. Any other thoughts? So I'll tell you something interesting. Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky has a beautiful parish on Pirkei Avos. He gives a good mashal. It's a little bit of a dated mashal, but you'll appreciate it. He says, you know, sometimes a person goes to a shir, or goes, right, here's, or a lecture, and you begin to nod off, right? You begin to fall asleep. I'm sure it's never happened to any of you. Right? But again, maybe you have a friend, and you get really tired, you begin to nod off. See, he gives him mashal. He says, you ever get lost when you were driving somewhere? Now you can see this is a little bit dated, because today people have GPS, people have Waze, but not so Google Maps, but not so long ago. If you got lost and you didn't know where you were going, what did you have to do? Ask for directions. So Retorsky says something amazing. He says, can you imagine you're lost in a very bad neighborhood, and you go ahead and you pull over to ask directions, and the person is giving you directions. Can you imagine for a moment that you would begin to fall asleep in the middle of the directions? Right? Can you imagine this? I'm in a terrible neighborhood. Start to nod off a little bit, right? You know, that head jerk, you know, as you're flowing a little. Right? You hope nobody saw that. Right? Can you imagine if somebody's in the middle of giving you directions to get you out of the worst neighborhood, would anybody nod off? Would anyone not? And of course the answer is, of course not. I wouldn't nod off. Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you fall asleep in the middle of directions? I'm sorry? Because it's important. Because at the end of the day, I need to get out of the bad neighborhood. And if I don't get out of the bad neighborhood, chas v'shalom, bad things could happen. So because it's important, I don't fall asleep. So Retorsky says, you know, sometimes we hear a shir, or we hear a drasha, or we hear a lecture, different ideas of Torah, and we nod off. But if we only understood that those words were the life-saving directions in life, how attentive we would be. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai extols Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' power of memory, he wasn't extolling his God-given gift. You know, that, you don't get a shkoyach for your God-given gift. Just like you don't get a shkoyach in life if you're tall, you don't get a shkoyach if you're short. Right? You don't, meaning that's the way you were created. So some people are created with incredible photographic memories. Others don't have that. You don't get a yashkoyach if you have a photographic memory. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't extolling Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' gift of retention. What he was extolling was the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai chose to remember everything. Why? Why? Because it was important to him. Because in Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' world, every word of Torah was a treasure. Every word of Torah was significant. Every word of Torah was something meaningful and magnificent. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus treated every word like a treasure. Did Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus have a photographic memory or not? I have no idea. But it doesn't really matter. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw in him was a young man who felt that every single piece of Torah was the most incredible and profound treasure. A young man who felt that every single piece of Torah was something so valued and so cherished to literally, again, how could I forget? How could I nod off in the middle of the life-saving instructions? It's a beautiful insight, a beautiful idea. What's even more profound, so now we have this opinion that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is the author of Perek Shira. But what I want to show you is who Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was, his life story. Because as you're going to see in just a moment, his life story is actually incredible and overwhelming. And then you're going to see why his authorship or potential authorship of Perek Shir is even more profound. Take a look at number 9 on your sheet. So I'm quoting over here from the Sefer Yachal Yisrael. Yachal Yisrael is Rav Yisrael Meir Lau's Perush, his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Lau was the chief rabbi. This is Rabbi Lau senior. Rabbi Lau was the chief rabbi of Israel, youngest child survivor of Buchenwald. He was the chief rabbi of Israel. Now he's the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. An incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham and powerful thinker. So what he does in his Perush on Pirkei Avos is that before he goes ahead and discusses the Mishnah, he gives a little bit of like historical background to the people who are quoted in the Mishnah. And you'll see, in general, I've come to find when learning Pirkei Avos, I think a couple of years ago we did Pirkei Avos, this class. You will come to find when you learn Pirkei Avos is of course incredibly profound. When you understand the life stories of the people whom you are quoting, their statements become even more profound and more meaningful. So watch this. So Rabbi Lau takes from a couple of sources and pieces together the life story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So watch this. Ben Esther Mishtaim Shana Haya, below Lama Torah. Young Eliezer, this is before he's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So by the way, first of all, just off the bat, what can you glean a little bit about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' family? Before you learn another word, what can you glean? Just from the names. Is Hyrcanus a Hebrew name? No, what is Hyrcanus? Professor's assuming it's Greek. So it's very interesting, by the way, that his father has a Greek name. Well, it's a Greek name, which again, already from the beginning, seems to indicate to us either that the family is not as steeped in Torah, or whatever it is, the point is Rabbi Eliezer is not growing up in a rabbinic home. This is incredibly important. So watch this. Eliezer, young Eliezer, was 22 years old, below Lama Torah. I'm in source number 9, source Aleph. He was 22 years old and he had not learned one word of Torah. One word of Torah. All of his life, he used to work the fields in the properties of his father, Horkinos. Pamachos, Amar, one time, Eliezer, for some unknown reason, goes over to his father and says, Eilech ve'elma Torah lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So one day, out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere, young Eliezer says to his father, Dad, I want to go learn Torah. And by the way, he doesn't just say, I want to go learn Torah. Who does he see? Where does he want to go learn Torah? Where? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? The Gadol Hadar. The Gadol Hadar. So again, I just want to point out, he's 22 years old, which is young, but he had never learned a word of Torah in his life. Suddenly, again, there's an awakening, and he wants to go learn. But he doesn't just want to go learn, he wants to go learn with the Gadol Hadar. He wants to learn with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what happens? Amar lo aviv horkinus. So his father says to him, I ata toim achetech rosh melomano. So his father said, I'm not giving you dinner, I'm not giving you any more food until you finish all of your plowing. What's profound about Horkinus' response to his son's request? What's profound about it? It doesn't connect to the question. Meaning what? He ignored it. Meaning he didn't even acknowledge the request. So now, whatever the reason this is it because Horkinus didn't value Torah? Maybe he thought that Eliezer's dream of going to learn Torah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was just so ridiculous. Just so ridiculous that he wasn't even goresit. Like, he didn't even acknowledge the question. He didn't even acknowledge the question. He didn't even say, like, come on, stop it, get back to work. He didn't even say that. He didn't acknowledge that the question was asked. He didn't acknowledge the request. Instead, he just says, you better get back to plowing the field, because if you don't plow the field, no dinner. Okay, hishkim v'charish melomana. So Eliezer complied with his father's directive, and he went to plow the field. Bepirkei Rabbi Eliezer mesuper ki be'echad hayamim mitzoh aviv bocha. So in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, there's another part to the story, that one time Horkinus found his son Eliezer crying. Choshev aviv shesibas habechi himishum hayoso choresh ba'admas tirashim kasha. When Horkinus finds that his son Eliezer is crying, he assumed that the reason Eliezer was crying was because the parcel of land that he was supposed to plow was very rocky. And as a result, plowing was incredibly difficult. So what happens? Sha'ala aviv, ba'ot she'achiv charshim ba'adama t'chusha v'yishara, as opposed to Eliezer's brothers who were plowing on softer soil. Sha'ala aviv, madua tifke, etim gam l'cha la'avod be'ezer kal yoser. So Horkinus says to his son Eliezer, don't cry, don't be upset. I'll give you an easier parcel of land to plow. You don't have to get upset. I promise, I'll give you a nice, easy parcel as well. So what happens? So Hechel Eliezer atzar la'avod bimkom noach yoser, ach la'achar zman ma shuv matzo aviv bocha. So Eliezer begins to plow a different parcel of land, a little bit easier, but then once again his father finds him crying. Paragraph Gimel. Al ma v'lama atabocha achshav. Why are you crying now? Horkinus asked his son. Heship haben ani rotze lilmod Torah. Do you see how profound this is? So Eliezer is saying, Father, I just want to go learn. Now remember, according to the approach over here, this is the second time now Eliezer is asking his father to go and learn. Right? In the first time, remember again, what was Horkinus' response? First time? Ignore him totally. Mrs. Glazer, do you need us? Kayla Casper is on Zoom. Of course. So first time again, remember his father asks him, totally ignores, first time that Eliezer asks his father, ultimately again, totally ignored. Now again, Eliezer is resettled, easier piece of land, his father finds him crying again. Why are you crying? Father, I just want to learn Torah. Now watch this, I'm in paragraph Gimel. Bitel aviv es hara'ayo mikol v'kol. His father totally negated the idea. And look what he said. V'amr lo, Begil kol mevugar, taschil lomot Torah. What does it mean? Begil kol mevugar, taschil lomot Torah. How would you translate that? At such an old age, it's 22, right? At such an old age, you're going to learn Torah. Himshich lavod, just continue to work the field. And this story to me is always so incredibly tragic. Because this is an important lesson. Because in Yiratzeh Hashem, one day you'll all be mothers, you'll all be parents. The most important role of a parent is what? Is to make your children believe that they can do what they want to do. That they can be what they want to be. The most incredible gift that a parent could give a child is the gift of confidence. The gift of, I believe in you. I might not agree with what you want to do, or deep down I might not really know for sure that you could actually accomplish what you want to accomplish, but I'll never tell you that. Instead, I'll always give you the confidence. I'll always fill you with the koach to believe that you can make your dreams a reality. And how tragic it is over here that you have a young man who tells his father, I want to learn Torah. And at first the father just ignores him and just doesn't even say anything. And then again, second time is even worse. Even worse. Stop it. Stop it. You're too old. Too old. Too old. First of all, we believe you're never too old. Right? A person could go out and change. A person could affect change in themselves and their lives until their dying breath. It's only once you're dead that you can't affect any level of change. But when you're alive, as long as you breathe, you could accomplish and you could do and you could be whatever you set your mind to. And yet, again, at the age, a ripe age, young age of 22 years old, so Eliezer is being told by his father, you're too old, life has passed you by, you cannot amount to anything in Torah, so instead, just focus on being a good farmer. Focus on being a good farmer. That's what you can do. You know how to do that. Focus on that, and that's all. So what happens? So he goes on. He said, paragraph hey. He said, I'm sorry. Paragraph gimel. Sehimshech Eliezer Bavodaso. So Eliezer, it's also incredible because you see Eliezer ben Hurkanus is incredibly deferential to his father. So Eliezer continues to work. Achenishbara regel paraso. Until what happens? One day, his cow breaks its foot. Bikach ra'a os mishamayim she'in makomo ba'avodazu. Azav es beis aviv upana lirushalayim. In that moment, Eliezer took the breaking of the cow's foot to be like hashkacha. An act of hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me he doesn't want me to be a farmer. He wants me to go and learn Torah. So what happens? He leaves. Now what's incredible over here is how does he leave? It appears that he leaves without telling who? Without telling his father. Which makes sense. Why wasn't he going to tell his father? Right, because his father would have told him no. And worse than no, his father would have made him feel foolish for even bringing up such a crazy idea like going to learn. So he recognizes over here that he just needs to go. Right, the cow breaks its foot. It's a simen from Shamayim. Now, by the way, was it a simen from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who knows? Right, so remember again, this is also a very powerful yisod. A lot of times things happen in life. And how we interpret those things. Let me say a little bit differently. What was Eliezer looking for? What was he really looking for? Right? He was looking for a sign. See, what he wanted was, he was not going to disobey his father because he didn't want to disobey his father. So the only way for him to disobey his father was if he felt that he was receiving some type of communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Yerushalayim, to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was that the simen? Did the Rebbe Shalom dispatch that simen that the cow should break its leg or break its foot so that Rabbi ben Hurkanus would be able to go ahead and become a great tzaddik, become a great... Maybe yes, maybe no. But it's two incredible lessons. Number one, that Hashem very often does communicate with us. You just have to be plugged in to be able to hear the communications, right? This is incredibly important in general. You have to be on the right frequency. Meaning if the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM, and I am tuned into FM, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me all the messages in the world, I'm never going to get them. You have to be tuned into the right frequency in life in order to be able to know what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you. But Beis, which is another very important lesson, which is be careful how you interpret life's messages or what you perceive to be life's messages. Why? Because sometimes I interpret something in a certain way But that's because I want to see it that way. In other words, in general in life, when you interpret events, you interpret them through your lens of understanding. So therefore, if I am going to go ahead, I'll give you a simple example of this. You ever have, maybe you have a disagreement with someone, or let's make it worse, a fight with someone, and you feel they mamish wronged you, they were just incredibly nasty. Generally, whenever that person says something, how do you hear their words? Angry, right? Now, the person might say the most innocuous thing in the world. What they might say, how are you? Oh, how am I? Why didn't you ask me yesterday how I was? Or what do you mean by how am I? Why shouldn't I be good? Meaning, when you have a negative perception of someone, you ultimately hear everything through that filter. It's true in life in general. We all have our filters. None of us, there's a great line that says, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Again, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. You see things in life through your eyes. And your eyes are ultimately a result of your life experiences. They're a result of the family you brought up in. They're a result of the school you went to. They're the result of your successes, of your failures. Do you have self-esteem? Not have self-esteem? All of these things contribute to the lens through which you see things. And this is incredibly important. Eliezer wants to go learn Torah. That's what he wants. So he interprets the cow's breaking of its foot as a siman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, yes, defy your father, go live your dreams. Was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him that or not? Was it a siman, or did the cow just break its foot? And it meant, maybe it just meant this cow was done and he needed to buy a new cow. I don't know what it meant. Maybe it just meant that this cow, was a Gilgal or something else and dessert. Who knows? But the point is, Eliezer took this event and interpreted it in a certain way. So he leaves. What happens? Take a look, paragraph Dalet. Kasher Gil Yerushalayim. So he goes, he decides he's going to the Shiva of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And what happens? He gets to Yerushalayim. Sidru l'achsanya lalun yachan Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. So what happens? He gets a dira, right? He gets an apartment. And who are his apartment mates? Incredible Gidol Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Then he goes into Yeshiva. He goes into yeshiva. So what happens? He goes to yeshiva. And finally, his dream. He goes to the shir of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He shows up at shir. He sits in shir. And what happens? He does not understand one word. Of course he doesn't. Why doesn't he understand one word? Why? He has no background. He's never learned Torah for a day in his life. He has no idea. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Gadol Hadar. The Pashtos, right? We assume that his shiur was on a pretty high level. So Rabbi Eliezer goes in. And he can't understand a word. Now you have to understand the profound feeling of disappointment and sadness. He goes in. Matz Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyoshe biyeshiva ubocha. So what happens? Apparently, Eliezer goes off to a corner in the yeshiva, and he begins to cry. I mean, can you imagine the pain of this young man? His father tells him, you're not going to amount to anything in the world of Torah. Just focus on your farming. Eliezer has this dream. And so he decides to defy his father, go off to Yerushalayim. Finally, he makes it. It's his dream to learn Torah from Yochanan ben Zakkai. He shows up in shir, first shir, and he can't understand one word. Why do you think he begins to cry? Deep down, why do you think he begins to cry? His father was right. Maybe my father was right. Maybe at the end of the day, I can't do this. Maybe at the end of the day, I'm just not going to amount to anything in this world. Maybe my father was right. And there is no greater pain in this world than the pain of feeling that you're a nothing. You see, we all suffer defeat. But sometimes I fail. But I realize I failed over here. But my self-esteem is intact. But sometimes you fail in such a dramatic way that it fundamentally erodes and undermines your very self-esteem. The failure makes me feel like a nothing. And there is nothing worse in this world. Nothing worse than feeling like a nothing. So here Eliezer goes to shir, doesn't understand anything. Maybe dad was right. And he just goes off to the corner and cries. Listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai finds him. And this is so beautiful. He says, Shalom. Malacha b'ni, madu ata bocha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hadar, sees this young man, 22-year-old Eliezer, says, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you crying? Yeshiva Eliezer, Eineni Yodea Klum. Eliezer says, because I don't know anything. I know absolutely nothing. Hischil Lamdo Kriyashma Tfila Ubirkas Hamazon. So look how incredible this is. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai begins to teach young Eliezer. Now, just so you understand, when we said before that Eliezer did not know Torah, so we assume that what does that mean? Okay, he never learned Chumash, he never learned Mishnayis, Gemara, he wasn't Talmud Chacham. But now you see the incredible extent of his ignorance. He didn't know how to daven. He didn't know Kriyat Shema. He didn't know benching. He did not know anything. He did not know anything. So you can imagine he shows up at the yeshiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hadar. You know, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had the most prestigious and largest yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And in fact, the Gemara says that during the Regalim, when people would come to Yerushalayim, so the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's base medrash was unable to contain everyone who wanted to come to learn. So they used to learn in the shade of the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So this young man goes ahead and shows up. This young man goes ahead and sits there, and he doesn't understand a word. And now the true profundity and extent and depth of his ignorance comes pouring out. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, why are you crying? He says, I know nothing. Okay, what do you mean you know nothing? Meaning you don't know Gemara? No. I know nothing. I know nothing. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai does what? Hischil lamdo, kriyashma, tefila, ubir kasimozon. So goes to ask you, what's incredible about that? What's incredible about that? What would you say? That the Gadol Hadar is teaching an ignorant young man kriyashma, shmona esrei, and benching. See, I would have thought that what's the story? Again, if I was writing the story, I would have scripted it how I would have said, okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Nebuch sees this young man, left his family, left his father, totally ignorant. And so what is he going to do? He realizes that he knows nothing. So if you're Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what would you do? What would you do? Hey, get a tutor. Get one of the other guys from the yeshiva to go ahead and help out. Get one of the other guys from the yeshiva to go ahead. And again, there's a... No, the Gadol Hadar. Can you imagine this? The Gadol Hadar sits down with an ignorant 22-year-old man and begins to teach him davening. Begins to teach him davening and benching. And again, from here, I think there's another incredible lesson. That what does it mean to be a Gadol? What does it mean to be great? So often we assume that the definition of greatness is measured in the amount of Torah that you know. But the truth is that can't be a fair definition. Why can't that be a fair definition? Because very simple, you could have a great mind, right, and learn a voluminous amount of Torah, maybe even call it Torah Kula, and be a rotten person. History is filled with people like that, who are exceptionally smart, exceptionally wise individuals, who had a lot of knowledge, but it didn't change their character. Their character was broken, their character was flawed, their character was base. So you see that what makes a true Gadol B'Yisrael is a sense of Avas Yisrael. A sense of empathy, a sense of care, a sense of concern, a sense of commitment. Of course, yes, you have to have the Torah knowledge. Of course, part of what makes a Gadol, is the vast sea of Torah knowledge that he possesses. That's of course. But lest you think that it's all about the knowledge, lest you think that it's all about the Torah, that's not true. Part of what makes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is a willingness to sit and to mamish tutor a 22-year-old ignorant young man. That's what makes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what happens? So this is an incredible paragraph. Hey, we'll do one more piece and we'll have to stop. He says, so what happens? So from that day forward, Rabbi Eliezer committed himself to intense learning. This is interesting, to the point that Eliezer began to neglect his own physical needs. He goes on, he says, So this is incredible. He says, so one time, it happened to the point that Eliezer stopped eating normally. He lost himself in Torah that Imamish forgot to take care of his basic physical needs like eating. How was this discovered? Take a look at paragraph Vav. Ka'avor zman ma, kasha yashet min Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai velimdo, chash harab bereach lo no'im hayotzi mipiv shel Eliezer. Reach shel adam shel hichnis zman rav ma'achal lepiv. So this is incredible. How did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realize that Eliezer was not eating well? How did he realize it? What did it say? How does he realize it? Bad breath. Eliezer had terribly bad breath, like someone, you know, when you don't eat for a long time, you develop bad breath. See, he smelled on him that he's just not eating normally. Shala Rav Eliezer Bini, Klum Sa'arata Hayom. This is so beautiful. He says, Eliezer, my son, tell me, did you eat something today? Shasak. Eliezer didn't answer. Amar Shuv Lo. So again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him again, did you eat something today? Vishasak. And once again, Eliezer was quiet. Shuv Amar Lo. I'm sorry. Hechlit Rabbi Yochanan livdok biatzmo asad dvarim. Vishalach likro lebali hachsanya shalo levarer. Ha'im tam Eliezer etzlam. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sent word to the host, to the family, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sent word to the host where Eliezer ben Horkanos was staying. Tell me, does he come home for meals? His barer, shigam etzlam Eliezer lo ta'im dabar. And it became clear that Eliezer did not eat anything. He didn't eat anything in the yeshiva. He didn't eat anything at his host's home. Paragraph Zayin Lemaisa, Rabbi Eliezer nafal ben akisos. See, ever hear that expression, nafal ben akisos? So how does that literally translate? Fell between the chairs. But what's the expression? Fell between the cracks. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, oh, Eliezer fell between the cracks. So what happened? The host thought that Eliezer was eating in the yeshiva. The yeshiva thought that Eliezer was eating at his host's. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lamented, we allowed Eliezer ben Horkanus to fall through the cracks. And again, once again, you see incredible how the Gadol Hadar takes an interest in making sure that a young man is having his meals. Where are you eating? And how could it be, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, that we would not have been attentive to the needs of this manite. We're going to stop over here for today. I'm going to leave you a little bit of a cliffhanger because the story becomes absolutely riveting and incredible. And Mir Hashem, we'll continue this on Wednesday. Then we'll tie back Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos with David HaMelech and Mir Hashem with a Rosh Hashanah tie-in as well. All right, Shkoach, everyone. Also, just announcing, I'm here for a half hour after each of the classes. So there's an opportunity if anyone has anything they want to discuss. You can make an appointment with Mrs. Glazer. And I'm not sure exactly, I guess, if it's going to be here or upstairs, but you can see the office if anyone wants to schedule any time. Have a good rest of the day. Okay, girls on Zoom. Wonderful time with all of you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Of course.